I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, I'm going to be chatting, first of all, with a chap named Rod. Now, Rod spends a lot of time, he's off-grid, and spends an awful lot of time around the Yarrawonga area on the banks of the Murray River. So I'm going to try and source him.
And we'll also tell you some things to do in and around Yarrawonga and Mulwala.
And then I'm going to be chatting with Alan Saunders. Now, Alan Saunders, he does some voluntary work in Goorambat around
yes.
the solo art trail. We're going to be talking a little bit about the solo art trail as well.
Yes, and a few other things there.
And
yes.
then straight after that, now you're going to be really excited about this one, Lynn.
Yeah, what's that?
Stanton Killeen.
The winery.
The winery indeed. Now, I've actually made an appointment for you to speak with Wendy Killeen.
Yes, that's correct.
And you're going to be chatting with her all about their fabulous wine range
yes.
at Stanton and Killeen.
Yes. And also, we've got great music from our people we interview.
Absolutely right. We've got a fantastic selection of Aussie music listeners as requested by the people we interview. So, Lynn,
on with the show.
Oh, welcome back, listeners. My name is Phil C, and this is Roaming Oz, and we are on the banks of the mighty Murray River near Yarrawonga, and I'm chatting to a chap named Rod. How are you today, Rod?
I'm very good, thank you. Yes, very relaxed and sitting back here enjoying the Murray.
Fantastic stuff. Now, the Murray River, it's a mighty river and it runs for about 2,000 kilometres or more, is that right?
Apparently about that length, yeah. About twice as far by river as by road.
Fantastic stuff. Now, you've obviously travelled a lot of the road, not so much the river. How long have you been travelling?
Been caravanning for about the last 4 years.
Right.
But before that, four-wheel driving for many, many years.
Right.
And swagging it and camper trailers, so yeah, so a bit more luxury now. A
bit more luxury as you get a little bit more mature and a bit more refined in your age.
Yes, and
so
the bones start squeaking a little bit.
Okay. Now, I must point out, I've just met Rod, and I noticed, first of all, you were doing a lot of your own cutting up of timber for your fire. Tell us, you got a chainsaw, you got a log splitter. You're looking pretty fit for your age. I'm not going to say how old you are. How long have you been doing this sort of stuff where you're cutting down your own wood? And
been doing this for many, many years, but now we travel with a chainsaw.
Yep.
Only use the wood we want to burn at the campsite and
yep.
never take it out with us.
Uh-huh.
Little fire pit made out of a cut-off gas bottle, which we use for boiling the water out of the river for dishes and washing and clothes and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
Now, I noticed that the other day when we arrived, you were actually having a sort of a bath by the river there. You'd boiled up the water in your gas, in your. Tell us about this. It's a gas bottle which you've cut in half, using that, and above that you've got your boiler which hangs from a rod. You made that up all yourself?
Rod, yep. Just hangs a 15-litre stainless steel boiler which just hangs off the top, and we've always got hot water for when we need it.
Okay.
If there's no one around, we will use it for showering outside.
Oh. Okay, Rod. Now, I understand you're saying showering. You've got some sort of a bilge pump set up, is that correct?
Yes, we just use a boat bilge pump and uh-huh. drop it in a bucket of water and get the temperature where we want it.
Right.
And just use a portable shower head and away we go. We lather it up.
So what about your wife? Now, I notice she's sitting over there blushing a bit. Is she apt to sort of have a shower outside as well or not?
What do you mean, what about the wife?
she's over there blushing. Does she like to take a shower outside or is it?
Only once very quickly and a car turned up. So she diverted real quick. She went back to the knitting needles.
Okay. Back to the knitting needles. Okay, so you've got an incredible setup here. You've got a Flinders caravan. It's about a 20-footer. It's got all the luxuries you could imagine inside. What attracts you to the free camping lifestyle?
It's like we don't like being crowded in around people. We like to be able to do our own thing,
uh-huh.
come and go. We've been lucky. We just leave our stuff out for a while if we're going into town. It's always pretty mm-hmm. secure.
Right.
Never had a problem with people, coming around that shouldn't have done or mm-hmm. it's all good like that.
Fair enough. Yep. So how long have you had this particular caravan?
4 years.
4 years. And out of four
today,
years,
yes.
How much free camping as opposed to, say, caravan parks where you're on electricity and shower and toilet and so on and so forth on hand, would you have done?
1%.
1% in the caravan parks?
Yeah. Hardly ever do a caravan park.
Right.
2.5 years we went without doing a caravan park.
2.5 years. Yes. So the caravan's obviously set up with solar panels. You've got batteries to run. Yep. Now, you've got a 100 series cruiser with a fridge in there. You've got batteries to run, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all runs that, yep.
So what's the longest amount of time you would have spent sort of off-grid on one of your trips?
We spent 3 months in Tasmania.
Right.
Never plugged into a PowerPoint once.
Right.
Done a little bit of low-cost camping over there, which is like $10 donations. And mm-hmm. It goes to the schools and all that sort of stuff. So
okay.
It's just good to help people out, and it's just great like that. But, yeah, we could go forever without going to a caravan park.
Okay. You just obviously, you've got large water tanks on there, and if you do run out, you carrying spare water out of the back of the cruiser?
Yeah, we always carry 40 litres of water in the back, and we just can use that and just transfer that into the tanks of the caravan needed and just fill it up when we're in town.
Okay, and as far as your grey water is concerned, you obviously go to the recognised dump points.
Yes,
and
we do. We've got a big container to catch all that, which then goes in the back of the car, and we just it's dumped at the proper appropriate places.
Fair enough. Yep. Now, I noticed this morning you were actually making bacon and eggs. Now, you weren't sort of cooking that on your open fire. You've got one of these new stoves with a glass lid, and you've modified that so you can actually cook roast in it.
Yes, we done a roast in it the other night. We had roast pork. It was very good, yes.
Okay.
We had a modified mix. The lid wasn't quite high enough.
Uh-huh.
Little bit of aluminium stripping and little bit, a few pop rivets, and we're all good, yeah.
Okay, and it takes about 3/4 of one of those propane bottles.
Yeah, we used, because we done the veggies and everything in it, and it was nearly a whole can, not quite.
Not quite, but a whole can, they're about $3 or something, aren't $2, $3.
Yeah.
So $2 or $3 to cook a family roast is pretty economical, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Now, what about your big gas bottles? When you're on the road and you're not stopping in caravan parks, what would you average out of one of your large 9-kilo bottles?
Around about 14 days.
Okay.
The fridge always runs on gas.
Uh-huh.
We use a bit for when we turn the hot water service on.
Yes.
And the rest of us just a bit of the stove in the caravan, which is not very often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So do you see yourself continuing to do this for quite a while yet, for a few more years to come?
Absolutely, yep. It's just a great life. It's called retirement.
It is called retirement, isn't it? And you're living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream.
And you're actually doing it better than most because you're living the dream and it's costing you very little money.
Yeah, the biggest cost is fuel.
Biggest cost is fuel.
We don't move a lot. Sometimes we'll stop at a place for a week, 10 days if we like it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we might only move 20 kilometres down the road.
Okay.
Just find the next spot, yeah.
I understand, yeah. I understand. And these particular spots on the Murray, where we are now, you don't actually want to divulge where it is because it's such a beautiful spot and we just kind of tripped over it by accident. We are here on a long weekend. And in the background there, you can hear a boat roaring down the river. There's a few people here, but normally you say you come here and you're pretty much the only one here.
Yeah, well, we had 10 days here a while back and we were the only one.
Fantastic.
It was great. The only people we spoke to for 10 days, we'd go into Yarrawonga and we'd go, 2 cappuccinos, please, skinny milk, half strength in a mug. Yeah. And that was our conversation with anybody for 10 days.
So what about your wife? How does she cope with the isolation, do you think?
What about my wife?
How do you think she copes? He's got a sense of humour, listeners. How do you think she copes with the isolation? Is she happy to be out in the middle of nowhere?
She absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deal is she cooks and I wash the dishes.
Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I do both.
Sometimes you do both.
And I've been known to get out and wash the clothes and
sweep
the floor. And
all right.
Yeah.
And wheel a chainsaw.
Yeah, and wheel a chainsaw.
And a block splitter.
Yeah.
He's the ideal man, ladies, okay? He does the dishes, he does the cooking occasionally, and he can wheel a chainsaw and a block splitter. Rod, it's been fantastic talking with you here today on the Murray. I want to thank you so much for your time. You probably wouldn't know, but I always play a song at the end of every interview, and they're only Aussie because this is Aussie. This is Roman Oz. You got a favourite Australian singer or song you'd like us to play for you?
Yeah, I reckon probably The Boys from the Bush Are Back in Town.
The Boys from the Bush Are Back in Town. And that, of course, is Lee Kernaghan.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Rod. Stick around, listeners. Straight after this track, we're going to be back with more Roman Oz.
shearing sheep. We've been mustering stock. We've been culling our roots. We've been spraying the crops. We've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night. We pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the back and the foot goes down. We're life members of the Outback Club. Where the boys from the bush come in from the scrub. We've been out in the heat. We've been loading the trucks. Been fixing fences. We've been choking on dust. We curse the rain. We curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night and we're all in the shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. We're back in town. Well, we raise hell when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. Yeah, we're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. Where the boys from the bush come in from the scrub.
That was a great song that Rod requested, Boys from the Bush and Lee Kernaghan, talking about the bush. Now, while you're up in and along the Murray, there's stunning beaches that can be found at every turn along the river, with more than 100 river beaches to be discovered between Yarrawonga, Mawala and Alupna Island, downstream near Strathmerton. Alupna Island is the ideal spot to visit for early morning sightings of kangaroos and koalas. Now, Thompson's Beach at Cobram is an idyllic setting for a day by the water with a playground for the kids and free barbecues. Now, you can cruise, canoe, fish, kayak, paddleboard, sail, swimming, wakeboarding and water skiing are all abound on the waters of the Murray River, Lake Mawala, for you and the family. In the summer months, adventure seekers take to boating, wakeboarding, water skiing and jet skiing for that extra thrill. You can also splash out at the region's splash parks and a range of indoor and outdoor pools across the area. A trip on the Murray is also a great opportunity to throw a line in for a chance to catch your very own fish. There are fantastic recreational fishing opportunities along the Ovens River, the Goulburn and the Murray River, Lake Mawala and Broken Creek. In fact, there are over 50 popular fishing locations in the region. Along with the prize cod, you might also hook a yellow belly, redfin or silver perch and in the colder months, the Murray crayfish, among many other native and introduced species. The majestic heritage-listed Barma Lakes are a camping and fishing paradise. Fish from the creek and the river banks or hop in a tinny along the river between Bundalong and Barma. Enjoy a picnic and bring all your water accessories to relax, spending time swimming, wading or simply soaking up the sun and the river's edge. Now, Phil, with all that talk of the water and the Murray River, I think it's time for a song.
What a great idea, Lynn. Now, what about Slim Dusty and Anne Kirkpatrick's Murray Moon?
Sounds good to me.
All right, listeners, stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after Murray Moon.
Thank you. the stars are gleaming, and there's a charm that sets me dreaming when all is calm. The sighing gum trees breathe mystery. The roving dark men I seem to see. And through the woodlight they fade away, but leave a memory of yesterday. I see my homestead by the big lagoon, was but the magic of the Murray moon.
Night a bird is flying to his nest, I will fly to home sweet home and the silvery shadows of gray, just to lead me over the way. The night birds calling in the livelong day. The stars are gleaming, and there's a charm that sets me dreaming when all is the sighing gum trees breathe mystery. The roving dark men I seem to see.
And through the woodlight they fade away, but leave a memory of yesterday. I see my homestead by the big lagoon, was but the magic of the Murray moon, was but the magic of the Murray moon.
Well, what a beautiful song, listeners. Murray Moon by Slim Dusty and Anne Kirkpatrick. Give us a little bit more of an insight into Yarrawonga and Mulwala.
Ah, yes, Phil. Now, some of the must-do things that you can see and do is visit the National Trust classified Byramene homestead to see the former home of one of Australia's earliest pioneers, Elizabeth Hume. Wander through the 100-year-old homestead at the Rich Glen Olives Farm gate store and sample some of their produce. Now you can explore the sun country on the Murray Farm Gate Trail to enjoy fresh locally grown produce. Cruise along Lake Mulwala to experience the tranquil waters and glorious landscapes. Walk to Chinaman's Island to view the abundant bird life and pristine wetlands. Find out about the region's history at the Yarrawonga Mulwala Museum. Pack a hamper and set yourself by the lake to watch the sun go down in a blaze of pink and orange, with the silhouettes of the ghostly gums in the lake adding to the drama. Or take a guided tour of the Everglades near Bundalong and experience pure serenity. Something there for everyone to see and do in Lake Mulwala and Yarrawonga.
Great stuff, Lynn. Well, Cobram Baruga, now that's just down the road, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct, Phil. Now there's plenty to see and do around that area. Why not take a walk across the Murray on the historic steel bridge that was built back in 1902? Or you throw a line in to catch a prized Murray cod, Murray cray or a yellow belly. Now, if you're a walker and bird watcher, you'll love the trail at Quinn Island, winding through river red gums and silver wattle forest. You can also cruise along the Murray on the Cobra paddle boat to discover the countless sandy beaches along the riverbanks. or take a tour of one of the original log homes of the district located on the main street of Cobram. Or if you prefer to move a little faster, grab a bike, a kayak or boat and get exploring one of the most picturesque areas of the Murray River region. Stroll through the majestic River Red Gum Forest and native bushland, or slow it right down and drop your line in your own secret spot to catch that fish. Now, whilst in the area, you can do the Northeast Victoria Silo Art Trail. Now, we started this at Tungamar Silo. Now, this was painted by a Western Australian street artist, Sabrine Simcocht, and she was commissioned to paint the privately owned Tungamar Silos back in 2018. Now, this silo was the first to be painted in northeastern Victoria, beginning this silo art trail. And she was also the first Australian female silo artist. Now, the next town on the silo art trail is Devenish. Now, this artwork was done by a renowned artist, Karn Scale, and it's a visual tribute to the men and women of the Devenish community who have enlisted in military service. The Grain Corp Devenish silos have long been a symbol of the prosperity of local grain production, that they now depict an aspect of military service provided by the community, and it's a fitting link between the two. Now, I believe, Phil, the next stop is Goorambat Silo, and you're going to be stopping there and talking to Alan Saunders, I think.
That's correct, Lynn. I'm actually going to be chatting to Alan. Now, Alan's a volunteer there, and he sells some items about those particular paintings that they've done there on the silo there at Goorambat. Now, do you know much about those ones or not?
Yes, I do, Phil. The Goorambat community is very proud to have Jimmy DeVate's artwork adorn the silos. Jimmy is passionate about conservation and is particularly keen to highlight the plight of endangered species. The barking owl is the most threatened owl in Victoria, with northeast Victoria a remaining stronghold for wild populations.
Well, I'm pretty excited now, Lynn. I've got to tell you, I'm just going to chuff off now down to Goorambat and catch up with Alan Saunders himself.
Alan, can you tell us all about these wonderful silo arches? There's three of them here in Goorambat. Now, I understand there's two on the back of where we are, one of an owl and one of a
palm scene.
A palm scene. Now, they were painted when?
They were painted in Easter 2018.
Okay. And how long would it have took the artist to paint them?
It took 2 weeks to paint the one on the Clydesdales, and I presume it was the same as the other two. It'll be about 6 weeks' work.
About 6 weeks' work?
Yes, and they cost $10,000 each.
$10,000 each? Mm. Wow. And you said it took about 6 weeks to paint the three of them. Now, who've actually painted these ones here in Goorambat? Because with the solo art, they're all over the country now, right, and lots of different artists. Who's responsible for these particular three?
These three were painted by Jimmy DeVate,
okay,
who lives in Richmond, Melbourne.
Okay.
The committee formed here when they talked about silo art,
mm-hmm,
and they formed Goorambat Community Incorporated.
Right.
And I'm not on the committee, but the committee decided they would have to have local something. So the horses were bred here in Goorambat.
Okay.
And but they're not here now. They're actually up at Toowoomba. They've sold them out. These horses here, the Laverine Stud it's called.
Right.
And that is the oldest registered Clydesdale stud in Australia.
Okay.
I think it's about 102 year old.
Right.
And they come from Laverine, the original the people, and they settled here in Goorambat. And they started this stud. That was the first generation. And the next generation, Tom Troon, who was the local member of Parliament, married their granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And his sons actually reared these horses that are on here now.
Fantastic. So how old those horses are still alive?
Yes, the one on the right.
Right.
That's the stallion they're using now for breeding purposes in Queensland.
Mm-hmm. And how old were the horses being, approximately?
Oh, I couldn't. They're real on the board. I just don't know offhand.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll have a look at that after, because there's lots of information, listeners.
Yep.
If you do come out to Goorambat, the solo art, there's lots of information out here. And as Alan was saying, it took about 6 weeks to paint the three of them. And I understand he's coming back to do another one, is that correct?
Yes, I believe they've got him engaged to come back in June.
Right, he was of this year, 21?
Yeah, 21. He was actually were doing it March last year, but the COVID, they stopped it in his tracks. But he's booked up to come here in June, and he's going to place another one on the door of the oat pool shed, which is down the other end.
So have you got any idea what he's going to plant?
I've got no idea.
Oh, okay. So we can't. We can start a scoop, Alan. We can't tell our listeners in advance.
I'm not on the committee, and they won't tell me. I'm dying to find out.
I can understand why they wouldn't tell you, because this could be a scoop. I could have told my listeners well in advance. Yeah. But it's definitely going to be done sometime in June. Is that correct?
That's right. That is right.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just going to have to keep our fingers crossed, I think, Alan. What do you think?
I think so.
Now, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Alan, also. Now, I understand you're 90 years young.
Oh, that's right.
And you're a local here.
That's right.
Born and bred?
My great-grandfather came out from England in 1842. He was three and a half.
Okay.
And when he was, when they just subdivided the land north of divided all Crown land, they wrote with a settlement. And all those early settlers pegged out their claims, and £1 an acre was the cost.
Okay.
And I've got a copy of the release of Crown land signed by Queen Victoria.
Okay.
So in that was in 1872 he
right.
came here.
Okay.
He had a family of nine children.
Right.
He also selected one at Admiral. And also another one out on the Arawaka Road. So okay. he selected three places.
Right.
He had six sons and three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And he put two sons on each place. And the three daughters, when they got married, he paid them out in cash.
Right.
They paid their own way out from England. They didn't come as convicts.
Yes, okay.
So, and they settled in Melbourne. And they bought property just near the Moreland Station. There was several hundred acres they bought.
Right.
Worth millions and millions today.
Of course.
They sold it and bought a farm at Mickleham.
Okay.
And that's where they got established. But they all spread out from there. But William Thornton, my great-grandfather, he came here in 1872.
Okay.
And my grandparents took over that property in 1900 when they got married.
Right.
And then my parents took that farm over in 1926 when they got married.
Yes.
Dad retired in 1974 and the farm came down to my brother Les and I. And Les wanted to retire in 2000, so I brought him out.
Right.
So I've got the original holding that he selected.
So you call yourself a local?
Yeah, I'm a local. Well, that one's true. I went to school here. I left school, I worked in a general store.
Yes.
And then I got married, I bought the Birrabut Post Office.
Okay.
Had our family there.
Uh-huh.
And then, well, for about 20 years I went to Melbourne, I was a postmaster down there.
Okay.
And then we come back here to live permanently.
Okay. So you're definitely a local. Are you here every day, Alan?
No, not every day.
Not every day? So how often are you here, Alan?
Well, before COVID, I come here 9 months for about 3 days a week, because in windy days and wet days I can't come.
Yeah,
sick days.
Yep.
So for 9 months, I sold $31,000 worth of
merchandise. And the merchandise is fantastic. Just to let you know, listeners, he's got things like stubby holders and coffee mugs and fridge magnets. And what else have you got, Alan? Tell us about some of your goodies here. And it's all to do with the solo art.
Everything we've got here is got solo art things on it.
Yep.
We also got tea towels, aprons and shopping bags. All our work is done up at Mansfield. We work to keep it locally.
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's all local stuff by local people, and we're talking about local art.
Yes, Gurumbat was a thriving little town when I was a boy.
Right.
Because we had two general stores and a bakery and everything going. Everybody shopped locally. But supermarkets have ruined all these little towns, and they're all feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
Most little towns are sort of becoming ghost towns.
Yes.
This was until the silo art, and now it's a little tourist town.
Now it's a tourist town. And the population of Gurumbat, that's, what, 100 and something people?
About 120 or 30. Or
about 120 or 30. So it's a small town. Thanks to the silo art and the tourists, it's kind of holding its own now.
Yes.
It's doing all right again.
It's going to thrive now, because we had a cafe just opened up at Christmas time, and I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever see a cafe in Gurumbat.
Okay, but it's opened.
And it's run by the Veterans Retreat,
right?
Which is a they bought the local school when it closed down, and it's therefore any serviceman can come and have a break, bring their car out and stay, or they're going to put cabins there.
Yep.
And just a general, and the profits of this goes toward maintaining that program.
Fantastic.
So that's been a great thing for Goorambat. And another thing, we're hoping to have a solar farm built next year,
right?
Just here.
Okay.
And they've contributed also. We've got a check from last month for $10,000.
Right.
And we already bought a barbecue, and the rest we're going to put in children's playground equipment in the Victory Park next to the hall.
Next to the hall. Great stuff. All right, Alan, well, I've got to finish up now. Have you got a favourite singer you'd like me to... I'm going to play a song for you. Have you got a favourite singer at all, Alan? It's got to be Australian.
Oh, I think I've got every one of Slim Dusty's CDs.
Okay. Slim's great. What about a favourite Slim song then?
I always like When the Rain Comes Down in July, one of his early songs.
When the Rain Comes Down?
When the Rain Tumbles Down in July.
When the Rain Tumbles Down in July. Slim Dusty, I'm going to put it straight on now, listeners. Stick around for that, and we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after that.
Let me wander north to the homestead, way out further on there to roam. By a gully in flood, let me linger when the summery sunshine has flown. Where the logs tangle up on the creek bed and clouds veil the old northern sky, and the cattle move back from the lowlands when the rain tumbles down in July. The settlers with sad hearts are watching the rise of the stream from the dawn. Their best crops are always in flood reach. If it rises much more, they'll be gone. The cattle string out along the fences, the wind from the south races by, and the limbs from the old gums are fallen when the rain tumbles down in July. The sleeping gums on the hillside awaken to herd straying by, from the flats where the fences have vanished as the storm clouds gather on high. The wheels of the wagon stop turning, the stock horses turned out to stray, the old station dogs are a-dozing on the husks in the barn through the day. The drover draws rein by the river, it's years since he's seen it so high. Yes, and that's just the story of Homewood when the rain tumbles down in July.
Oh, what a great song, Lynn, by Slim Dusty, When the Rain Tumbles Down in July.
Yes, Slim is very popular with our interviewees, isn't he?
Oh, the country regional listeners love the Slim.
And so where are we off to now, Phil?
Oh, Lynn, I've got a surprise for you. Remember right at the start of the program, I said I was going to send you off to Stanton-Killeen?
Yes, that's right.
Stanton-Killeen. Now, what's Stanton-Killeen all about?
Ah, well, it's a winery in the Rutherglen region.
Absolutely. And you know what I've managed to do?
Yes.
I've managed to organise a chat with you and Wendy Killeen from Stanton-Killeen.
Okay, well, I better get that started.
That sounds good to me, Lynn.
We are visiting Stanton and Killeen, a winery in Rutherglen, which is in northeast Victoria, and we're with Wendy, the owner. How are you today, Wendy?
I'm very well, thank you, Lynn.
That's good. Now, for our listeners, when did Stanton and Killeen all begin?
We first planted grapes in 1875. Yes. And so that makes us 146 years old.
Wow.
And another exciting fact about our company at the moment is our oldest vineyard turns 100 this year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And I believe that seven generations of the family.
My daughter is the seventh generation of our family. We're Killeens, and the original owners were Stantons, and back in 1948, a Stanton married a Killeen. So we've enjoyed continuous family business since 1875.
And what, all the, everyone has sort of been a vineyard?
Yes. We've made wine since 1875, and people say, well, how can you be so old in Australia? Yeah. I mean, we're not that old as a modern nation, and it's because the wine industry is very male-dominated, or has been for many generations, not so much now, but I guess in the early days, I suppose in the first four or five generations, the wineries, the business was left to the son, the oldest son.
Yep.
So that's why we're here in business today. My daughter is in her early 30s, and we run the business together now. Mm-hmm. It's the first time in the family's history that women have been in charge. Yes.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. It's good to see.
Yes.
It's very good to see. And so what, she studied winemaking, or is she just picked it up
No, we're more business owners, managers.
Yep. Right,
we employ winemakers and vineyard managers, and we're a team of 10. So, we're really the owners, but we're learning. So it's been in our family all these years, and we've picked it up over the years, but we're certainly not technically trained.
Right, okay. So you have award-winning Tokays and Muscats.
Yes.
And
Port.
And Port.
We're very lucky here in Rutherglen because we have a warm climate, and we're able to grow many different grapes.
Yep.
So in our vineyard alone, we have 14 different varieties. Mm-hmm. So we make sparkling wine, we make white wine, we make red wine, and we make fortified wine, which of course is the Muscats, Tokays, which we now call Topaque, and Port.
Yes. Oh, lovely. And I did notice when I was doing a little bit of research, you do a white port.
We do. We do. And, of course, white port is very traditional in Portugal.
Yes.
And our point of difference in the wine industry in Rutherglen is we have a number of Portuguese port varieties.
Yes.
We planted those in the late 1980s, early 90s to make vintage port.
Mm-hmm.
And after Chris's death in 2007, we decided to honour him by making a table wine, first time ever, with the Portuguese port varieties.
Oh.
And since then, we now make six different table wines with the beautiful port varieties.
Oh, that would be nice.
And they're lovely. So we make from sparkling Tempranillo, which in our vineyard it's called Tinto Roriz, which is Portuguese.
Yep.
We make rosé, we make a number of different reds and port.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely. Mm. Okay, and also you have a barrel club. What is that, and what do you need to do?
Okay.
It sounds interesting.
Well, in our cellar out the back here where we're sitting today, we have more than 500,000 litres of fortified wine maturing in barrels and casks. And, and we make a lot of blending port, musket and topaque, and we sell a lot of personalised barrels, so people can come in here and buy handmade 5-litre, 10-litre, 15-litre or 20-litre barrels, and we supply the wine.
Oh,
and when you buy that barrel, you join our club. It's free, and we help you through your port or your barrel journey. Each year you can bring a sample back and we can test it for you, make sure that it's all fresh, and you can top up, and we support you with your beautiful barrel for a number of years.
Oh, so you take your barrel home with
you. Barrel home.
Right.
Because in this day and age, people have everything. A lot of people have everything. And we find that people love these port barrels, or they're fortified wine barrels, because it's something that grows with you, and the wine matures over years, and you can top up.
Yes,
and it's a point of difference at home too.
Yes, I remember my first experience with a wine barrel. Didn't realise that you had to pour water in it to make it stretch, and of course, you know, everything just went through.
We actually season them. So when you buy a barrel from us, they've been seasoned and tightened, and you know, all the wood characters leached out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, you do cellar doors?
We have a beautiful cellar door, yes, and we have a very busy cellar door because Rutherglen is quite a tourist destination.
Yes.
A lot of wine tourism here. There's over 20, just over 20 wineries in Rutherglen, and there are 19 members of the winemakers of Rutherglen, and there are some smaller independent wineries that we support as well.
Oh, okay.
We do have a cellar door, yes.
Yes.
And we have a number of wines on tasting, and we have very friendly staff, and we have a beautiful ground surrounding our cellar door.
Yes, it's a lovely area.
So it's a great place to come and have a picnic or come and taste wine, and we do tours as well.
And you do tours. Okay, and your hours of operation?
Hours of operation, well, of course, it's we're sort of back to normal. We're shut, and then we had limited hours when we originally opened after COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
Our hours are 9 till 5 each day, Sundays at 10 till 5.
Wow, so you can come here for a nice afternoon sitting out in this beautiful greenery and ground. And do you do platters or anything?
Yes,
tasting platters?
Yes, we do. We do either build your own platter or we order beautiful platters from a terrific chef in Rutherglen called Kate, who owns Savoy Truffle.
Oh,
and
okay.
And she's actually catering today for us for Taste of Rutherglen.
Right. And what's Taste of Rutherglen?
Taste of Rutherglen is a Winemakers of Rutherglen initiative that started many, many years ago. Always held on the March Victorian Long Weekend, March Long Weekend. And it's a showcase of food and wine matching.
Lovely.
And everybody's got music, all the wineries have music, and we have food, and we here at Stanton and Killeen we have games for the children.
Yes.
We have music. There's bean bags to lounge around on the lawn.
Wonderful. And so you're expecting a huge crowd.
Yes, we are.
Yes?
We're hoping.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, that sounds like an exciting place to visit. to end off the interview, what Aussie song would you like to hear?
Well, the first Aussie song that has popped into my head is Men at Work, Land Down Under.
Wonderful.
Heard it on the radio the other day.
Okay,
Australian.
We should have that song, Phil?
Definitely, most definitely. We've got that. We've got all the Australian songs, you know that. And it is a popular song.
Yes.
Thank you so much for selecting that, Wendy. That's going to be great.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
No.
And we welcome anybody to our cellar door.
Yes.
Wonderful. Is there a charge for the cellar door, incidentally, or not?
Yes. We've introduced, most of the wineries in Victoria now have introduced a tasting fee.
Okay.
So in the past,
perfectly,
it's been free.
Logical.
But we certainly have only recently introduced a tasting fee, which is only sensible, really.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I can understand that.
No, I can too. Well, wonderful. Well, let's get this song underway. And thank you so much again, Wendy, for your
time.
Welcome.
Thank you, Lynn.
Let's hope Taste of Rutherglen goes really well.
Thank you very much.
Stick around, listeners. Men at Work, Land Down Under, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
I said, do you speak my language? from the land of plenty. And he said, oh, you come from a land down under. Yeah. Women go and men plunder. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Women from a land down under. Women go and men plunder.
Fantastic song selection there from Wendy Killeen at Stan Killeen Winery. Men at Work's Down Under. What a great song. Now, listeners, stick around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the mighty Murray, okay? I'm going to give you some history on the Murray River. And it all began about 40 million years ago. Now, this was through the forces of water and geological uplifting. The valley that cradles Australia's greatest river began to take shape. The Murray is a river whose character encompasses environmental beauty. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's rich in heritage and history, and there's busy townships along there and amazing regional centres as well. Now, with the amazing tourism experience and a world-class agricultural food and wine region, definitely places there not to be missed, listeners. Now, it creates a border between New South Wales and Victoria, and it's the world's, well, it's rates in about the, I think, the 16th longest river, okay? Now, it's over 2,500 kilometres. It's huge. Now, it's a bed for several rivers, including the Darling and the Murrumbidgee, of course, which is on its journey from the Australian Alps before flowing through South Australia to the Southern Ocean. Now, it sits in the Murray-Darling Basin, draining most of inland Victoria and New South Wales and, of course, southern Queensland from the western side of the Great Dividing Range. Now, it was first discovered by a couple of European travellers, explorers, if you like. No, and they weren't backpackers. Hume and Hovell. Now, back in the 1800s, 1824, I think it was. Now, it wasn't until 5 years later, however, that Charles Sturt navigated down the Murrumbidgee to encounter the Murray and named it after Sir George Murray. Now, when his exploration party encountered the Darling Connection. Now, you imagine back in the 1800s, the Murray River would have been like a superhighway. Paddle steamers were used, okay? They used to carry wool and wheat and other goods up and down the river system, including the Murray-Darling, Murrumbidgee rivers. Now, since settlement of the river basin was so late, the introduction of the railroad came much sooner to the river towns, and it had a large impact on the steamers along the Murray. Irrigation was introduced in 1887 by Canadian George Chaffee around Mildura in Victoria and Renmark, South Australia. Now, this greatly accelerated the settlement and exploitation of the river's water supply. In 1918, a commission was formed to manage water supply, and it also coordinated the construction of storage locks and weirs to reduce the effects of drought and flood. Today, the water flow is still managed by these locks on the river from Yarrawonga in Victoria to Blanchetown Lock Number 1 in South Australia. Millions of people rely on the Murray as a source of water for domestic and industrial use, and it plays a significant part in Australia's economy. A large range amount of species can be found living on the river and around the river basin, including emus, koalas, western grey kangaroos, bearded dragon lizards, red-rumped parrots, black swans, pelicans, and even dolphins, listeners. Yes, even dolphins closer to the ocean. Also plentiful of fish such as Murray cod, bream, perch, and that pesky introduced species which they call redfin, which, of course, if you catch a redfin, it's illegal to put it back in the water. Redfin are an English perch that was introduced, and they're such a pest, like the European carp. If you catch any of those ones, you got to either hit them over the head with something and feed them to the pelicans or whatever else is flying about, or just throw them in your campfire. Don't put them back in the river because they really are a nuisance. Well, there you go, listeners. I hope you found some of that information interesting. I know I did. 2,500 kilometres long, one of the 16th longest rivers in the world. And there's something else I'm going to make mention of that you may not be aware of, and that is the story of the Murray River flag. Now, it's one of the oldest flags in Australia, okay? Now, this came about before Federation. The Australian colonies used to fly the Union Jack from the United Kingdom. Now, however, back in the 1850s, I think it was, you know, our sense of national pride emerged. Yes, it did indeed. And varied unofficial flags often featured the Southern Cross constellation and were designed and flown. Now, the Murray River flag first appeared at Goolwa to honour the first paddle steamer on the Murray River, the Mary Ann, on the barge Eureka. Now, it's the only flag in the world named in honour of the river. The flag was described, and it was also reported of the Australian Register, as the flag bears the red cross with the four horizontal blue bars. Now, the cross being charged with five stars as emblems of the colonies, while the upper corner is taken up with the British connection, which was, I guess, depicted by the Union Jack. Now, it has often been named, we understand, the Murray River flag, and has been said that the blue bars represent the four major rivers that run into the Murray River, which, of course, is the Murrumbidgee, the Lachlan, and the Darling. Now, the lower Murray flags, used predominantly in South Australia, is designed by the use of the pale blue bands, which, of course, represent the lighter coloured water of the lower reaches of the Murray. And the upper Murray flag has the darker blue bands on its flag. And that, of course, is representing the darker waters of the river's upper regions. Now, the designer was also the house flag of the Murray River Steam Navigation Co., which suggests that the lineal descendant of the original flag design. So no specimen, I must point out, no specimen of or fragment of the original Murray flag is known to exist today, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I'm aware. Now, listeners, all this talk of flags and the mighty Murray and so on and so forth has inspired me to select a song for you, okay? And the one I'm going to put on for you right now is one made famous, of course, by Johnny Williamson, one of our great, great Australian country singers and conservationist. And the song I'm going to play for you is a number called A Flag of Our Own.
Ned Kelly came round to see me today. I guess I was dreaming, oh, dumbfounded, I couldn't think what to say. Oh, I beckoned him in, but he shook his head. He said, I'm a bit grubby and a bit poorly bred. I'd rather we yarned out the back in the shed. I can leave my boots on that way. Well, he took a stiff whiskey and laid down his gun. He said, I won't keep you long, 'cause I've got a run, got a ride to the mountains before night is done. He said, words got around about the music you play. You truly believe in the fair income way, that the bush must remain for our spirit to stay, and we must have a flag of our own. Said I learned long ago, when I was still young, like the lizard that spits and sticks out his tongue, oh, the way to get shot is to carry a gun. Oh, there's a new world order, the leaders all shout, and everyone's frantic, they're gonna miss out. And the red, white and blues are still marching about. How oh, we must have a flag of our own. Cause this is Australia and that's where we're from. We're not Yankee sidekicks or second-class pawns. And tell the frogs what they can do with their bomb. And we must have a flag of our own. Yeah, this is Australia and that's where we're from. We're not Yankee sidekicks or second-class pawns. And tell the frogs what they can do with their bomb, and we must have a flag of our own.
Gee, that John Williamson, he amazes me. He can write a song about anything.
As long as it's Australian though, Lynn.
Yes, that's correct, Phil.
So, it was interesting, this program, wasn't it? All along the Murray and so on.
Ah, yes, it's a great place to be.
Absolutely, such a majestic river. 2,500 kilometres long.
Yes.
Had no idea. Now, where are we going to be next week, Lynn?
Next week we're heading back into New South Wales and we're heading to Deniliquin.
Deniliquin. Now, Lynn, is that the place that's got that really fantastic car museum?
Yes, that's the one, Phil. And also, don't forget, it's also the home of the Denny Ute Muster.
The Denny Ute Muster. Now, that's another thing. I've got to try and talk to whoever runs that Ute Muster. I think it'd be fantastic to go to that. So also, Lynn, I'm also going to try and catch up with a young couple that are doing the big lap.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, I met this couple on Facebook and they're actually doing a big lap. They're currently... Mm-hmm. I think they're currently around Hervey Bay or the Whitsundays.
Yep.
And they're doing it in a 79 series Land Cruiser that they've decked out.
Wow.
And they're on the road doing the big lap. So I'm going to try and catch up with them and do a regular segment with them.
Oh, good idea.
And find out what they're doing, all the places they're going to visit.
And any tips that they can share.
Absolutely, because they're doing it in a car. Now, they don't even have a rooftop tent. They've just got this vehicle that they've converted. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting, listeners.
Wow, look forward to that.
All right, listeners, so don't forget, we'll be back next week with more
Roman Oz. We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.